folks. The Field and Garden Podcast is honored to be partnering with the Growing for Market magazine. They have been publishing practical ideas and information for direct market flower and vegetable growers for over 31 years. All the articles are written by farmers who get their hands dirty and know what they're doing. The magazine is still on the same mission as when the Flower Farmer book author Lynn Bozinski founded this magazine back in 1992 to connect growers with the best ideas from other growers. There is dedicated flower content in every magazine, a decade's worth of back issues, and over 1,600 archived articles from writers like Aaron Benzenkang, Gretel Adams, Pamela and Frank Arnowski, and Jonathan and Megan Lease, all available on the website. With 10 new issues every year available on paper, digital, or both, you're guaranteed to find something to fine-tune your farm in Growing for Market. So if you do farmers markets, CSA, farm stands, pick your own, florist sales, or wholesaling, whether you're a commercial grower or you just want to grow like one, subscribe to Growing for Market for the nitty-gritty details of growing, marketing, and the business of local farming. And I have a special offer for you. Use the coupon code WORKSHOP to get 25% off any subscription to the original Farmer to Farmer magazine at growingformarket.com. Hey friends, welcome back to another Field and Garden Podcast. It is your host and friend, Lisa Mason Ziegler, and thanks for popping in. And what a topic to talk about today. This is something that's really near and dear to my heart because I am seeing so many people lamenting about this right now. I'm recording this in June, which is, you know, high season, which means many of us just have gobs of flowers, and we're faced with a really special issue, and that is our fear of selling. And I really want to name this podcast The Gift of Being Afraid to Sell, because while it may not feel like much of a gift at this point in time, I am telling you, it really is a gift that we are suffering from this fear. So it's a really good thing. So before we jump into talking about this, I just want to remind everybody, if you want to learn more about the Gardener's Workshop and all the work that we're doing, from tons of free resources, we have our sister podcast, Seed Talk, as well as a fully stocked online garden shop with the same tools, seeds, and supplies, and my books. All the things you hear me mention here from time to time are available over there, as well as we have a full rollout library of online courses, from mini courses to workshops to big schools for those that are entertaining the thought of starting, building, scaling a business. So you can learn more about that at thegardenersworkshop.com, as well as sign up for our farm news. Y'all, our farm news is really packed full of great content. So we won't blow your inbox up with a lot of sales. That happens from time to time, but it helps direct you to all of the gems of resources that are on our website. So check it out. So friends, I am going to call this podcast The Gift of Being Afraid to Sell. And why is this such a good thing? So I want to first start off by saying that I was so terrified of selling. And this surprises so many people. And y'all, I can't even tell you how afraid I was. And you may have heard the story, but I'll repeat it in short form here. So the way that I kind of learned about flower farming is that I was basically a new gardener, just embarking on my gardening life. And my grandma had a massive stroke. And so we got through that, and she got through it. However, she came through it being paralyzed. And so what that meant was that she had to have somebody with her all the time. And my time to do that from part of our family is my days were Tuesdays. And I would go spend the day with my grandma. And so, you know, she couldn't get out of bed, right? So I literally read everything I could get my hands on available at the home that she was in. And one of those was an actual article about flower farming. And that's what lit me up, right? That's what really got me started. So that was in late summer. And so that's, you know, the whole story of how I learned about a few cool season hardy annuals, planted some, so that that following spring, I had all of a sudden, and it was sweet peas, Rudbeckia Indian Summer. It was a Dianthus Sweet William that's no longer available, a variety. Planted those and snapdragons. Those were the four things that I started from seed and planted. So that following spring, y'all, and I didn't just plant a little patch. I planted like 50-foot beds of each one, being in my normal over-the-top tackle of things, right? So that following spring, oh my gosh, they were so successful. I had tons of flowers. And every morning at breakfast, Steve Ziegler would say to me, "Are you taking your flowers down to the florist today?" And I always had an excuse. I always had an excuse, y'all. And my excuse was basically, I now know, was built on, I didn't know really what, I knew a little bit of what to do, but I was just really so underprepared. And that terrified me. What would I say if they said this? What would I do if they did this? What if they don't want my flowers? I mean, I had all these what ifs. And, you know, the other part of the story is, you know, I'm a severe dyslexic. And part of our struggle is not only just the written word, interpreting it and digesting it. We are so afraid of being challenged by a situation that we don't know what to do. I mean, it's like, what do I do? We are overachievers. Some of the greatest entrepreneurs in the world are actually dyslexics because we have other gifts that regular everyday people don't have. But it is that not knowing what to do problem. Well, so Steve encouraged me and said, you know, he relieved me of the number one tension that I had is, what if I go down there and they say, "We don't want your crummy flowers"? That's exactly what I thought they were going to say. Why would we want your little goofy garden flowers when we can have any flower in the world? That's what was playing out in my mind. And how crushing that would be, and how embarrassing that would be. And I think too hurtful, you know, hurt my feelings. But really, I think the embarrassment of that was what really kind of stopped me. So anyway, so I had sweet peas, Rudbeckia, and Sweet William and snapdragons. In addition, I also had Steve's grandma's hydrangeas that were blooming, right, fresh. So Steve finally looked at me one morning and said, "Listen to me, take your flowers and go down to this shop that I had been casing for 6 months, trying to figure out, you know, what to do." And of course, I was following the direction that Lynn had given me in her book, The Flower Farmer by Lynn Pazinski. But there wasn't enough detail. You know, for one thing, I want to just pause for just a second and say, there are so many areas in any business when you are just coming into it, there are so many areas that you need deep dives, general information sources, whether it's a book or an online course or a class or a conference. No one thing can give you everything you need. There are so many deep rabbit hole areas that you need information on. So Lynn's book was really like an overview of all the opportunities, all the different ways you could go. So I had a little bit of information, but not nearly enough. So that morning at the breakfast table, Steve said to me, "Lisa, pack your flowers up." I didn't even have a truck or anything back then, y'all. "Put them in the back seat." We drove an Oldsmobile Aurora, which was kind of like a hot rod, kind of nice luxury car, right? That we'd gotten from my dad. "And put those flowers in the back seat of that car and take them down there. And if they take one look at your flowers and aren't swooned and don't want to buy them all, we'll just never shop there again. You will never have to face those people again." And y'all, the switch was flipped. Truly, it became quickly aware to both of us that I was just scared to death. They didn't want them, and I'd be embarrassed. And the rest of the story is that I went down there. I was partially prepared, and they wanted everything I had, and that built my confidence up. And so I am here to tell you that our fear of selling really has nothing to do with us. It does have everything to do with us, I guess. It has nothing to do with the anticipation of what we're going to face down there. Or it has everything to do with that. Yet, the solution to that problem isn't really what we think it is. It wasn't what I thought at all, because there is no real sales class. There is no, here's the book, read the whole thing. That's part of it, because here is the whole success, whether you're a flower farmer or no matter what you're selling or no matter what your business is or the business you're trying to start is, it's about being prepared, being a professional, and becoming the expert. Because let me tell you something, friends, when you know your stuff, or at least you appear to know your stuff, it puts you on the top of the pile. One of the most surprising things that I faced or I learned that day that I went in, and I still will never forget, I went in with my little, I had a little, have y'all ever seen in the grocery store ice cream buckets that have like 1 gallon of ice cream? They probably don't have a gallon anymore, but the little plastic round tubs that have a handle, that's what, I had a bucket of those packed with my sweet peas. I had that. I had another bucket that had like 2 bunches each of Rudbeckia and Snapdragons and the Sweet William. And then I had a little armful of hydrangeas. Those are mop head, big leaf hydrangeas that were fresh. I walked in, and when I put my flowers up on the counter, it just swept Eddie, who was the florist there, off his feet. He was pretty speechless. And so I had already done my due diligence for part of my business. I had learned from everything I had read how to grow great flowers, how to harvest them at the proper stage, and how to condition them. Those were the 3 things that I had really had access to through reading. Because remember, friends, back then, we didn't even have the internet. Do you know what I mean? I didn't have resources of things to go through. I knew that conditioning was important. I knew that growing great quality was important. And I was terrified, again, that someone's going to say, "Look at how crumb your flowers don't last." One of the things that Lynn spoke of in her book was the reason you drop off free samples when you're courting a new customer is you want to show them that you have beautiful, clean, gorgeous, long-lasting flowers. The things that they don't typically get from other places, right? So I learned from that, during that time, that selling your flowers is a result of all the other things you need to do. And that is to learn how to grow great quality and beautiful flowers and being a professional. And that means learning about the market you want to actually go in. And, you know, I love so much my friend Ellen Frost, who owns a design studio. If you don't follow Ellen, Local Color Flowers is the name of her business. She has a design studio, not like a brick and mortar flower shop, in Baltimore, and it's like in its 15th or 16th year by now. And she only uses flowers grown within 100 miles of her studio. First off, friends, every flower farmer needs an Ellen in their life. But Ellen did a course for us helping florists and those people that want to grow their floral businesses by adding the local flower niche. And so in her course, one of the things, because, you know, I watch all the courses, obviously, that we produce. And one of the things she really harps on, particularly in the first week, I think it is about becoming the expert. And that doesn't matter whether you want to be a designer in a studio and you need to be the expert in your field, if you're a flower farmer, if you're a baby doctor, if you're a veterinarian, or if you're a copy machine salesman. When you become the expert, think about that for a minute. Who are the people that have helped you the most in any walk of life? New dog ownership, whatever, building something, are the people that know what they're talking about. And that's what you need to become in your field of selling, growing, using, whatever it is. You need to become the expert. That makes you, by virtue of doing that, a fluent salesperson without becoming a salesperson. You just know your stuff. And you don't need to worry about, I mean, surely there are things that you can do, which I'll talk about that in a minute. But when you know your stuff, and you don't have to know, you have to like fake it till you make it, y'all. But you have to base that fake on something, you know? So, and here is the other thing, that most people don't ever make it to the finish line. Because they think that it's so much more. It's like, oh my gosh, I need to know so much before I can sell is what you might be thinking right now. Friends, I'm telling you, you just have to take the steps to learn more. And then you have to do it. You have to practice it over and over and over. And listen over and over again. You know, I've said so many times to my students, I listen and read the same resources over and over again. Those of those people that I feel like know the most. I don't read new material all the time. I hone in on those, and you do it over and over again. And that's where people fall off. They feel like they always need something new. I was just listening to something. A business person talking about this, saying that, you know, people are just always looking, the grass is always greener on the other side. They're always seeking the other side, where if you listen to what your customers want and just keep doing those things over and over and doing them better and better, your business is set. But we just are constantly thinking we need more and more new things, and that in fact is not true. And you know, why do we think that Olympic athletes practice? I mean, that's one of the things they say, right? If you'd want to go to the Olympics in 4 years, your life is over in other areas except for this for the next 4 years, right? And that concept can be applied to business. It's not that your life has to be over, but you have to focus and do it over and over and over. It's boring. Do you think business is fun every day? No. Do you think business is exciting every day? No. You just have to do the important stuff for your business. And so here are some of my, things that I've learned through the years that are just some of the things to help overcoming those fears. So besides being prepared and becoming a professional and practicing over and over again and becoming that expert in your field. So, you know, I hear so many people, first off, golly day, venturing into areas that they really have no knowledge of. And, you know, I think of my friend Jenny Love. Jenny is one of the foremost farmer florists in the field. You know, she was like one of the first farmer florists, you know, one of the people that really opened that pathway up for so many people. Jenny just didn't jump in and start doing it. She took design classes. She learned the mechanics, the verbiage, how to do things before she ventured into commanding these incredible events that she built her business on. I mean, big business on. She was the leading farmer florist in Philadelphia and still is. But she became the expert, right? So right now on social media, I'm just seeing so many people venture into areas because people have asked them about it. You know, somebody, you know, to let's just make up somebody. So you're sitting at a farmer's market and, you know, you don't have very many flowers yet and you're not having much success. And somebody comes along and says, hey, I'm doing an event. I'm having a wedding in next month. Can you do all the flowers? And we want you to do everything, the whole hall, the big deal, you know, 10 arrangements, 5 personals. Those are the bouquets that people carry or boutonnieres. And you say yes, not knowing anything. Well, in my opinion, you should be terrified. I'd be terrified because I know nothing about that. And I think that oftentimes we really, out of desperation, bite off so much more than we can chew. And when that happens, yes, there is a person or two that might overcome and, you know, be able to pull that off and come out smelling like a rose maybe. But I would be willing to say that the majority of people will never sleep between now and that event. So much gut-wrenching that they will just say that they can't do this, that flower farming or, you know, that's not flower farming. That's doing events. And we lose so many people because of this. And so I'm just saying to you, sometimes the hardest part of business is saying no to things that you shouldn't be doing yet or ever. I never said yes to those things because I was so totally not interested, first off. And because I felt like I did my prep work of growing great flowers, conditioning them, and then I chose the right customer, I stalked my first flower customer all winter. I mean, it was like I went in there and watched that shop and saw what they were doing. All that built my confidence. And so when I went in, I swept them off their feet, which made them want to help me and feed me information to make me actually successful, right? So, you know, the more I'm just thinking about this, it's like, golly day, following Lynn's advice. And it was easy for me to do that because there wasn't all this other background noise of social media and the internet to make me think like, be like a ping pong, you know, and bounce around to different things. I just focused on that and went for it. So I understand how easy it is to get pulled in other directions, but overcoming your fear is definitely being prepared and becoming a professional, y'all. So if I was going to market, one of the things that I have learned, and I've watched this and seen it online over and over again, the best way to enter into a market as a new, as the newbie, once you get in, is to have sheer volume of voluptuousness. And this doesn't mean 30 different flowers, a little bit of, you are better to go in with, you know, 5 to 15 different flowers that you can make mixed bouquets with, but to have volume of something. For me, the easiest fix always was is to have buckets of some particular crop, sunflowers if it's in the heat of summer. I mean, you want to just create this big splash. I'll tell you another little very short story. My competition at the very first farmer's market that I went to, Amy to this day is still an incredibly successful farmer's market sales. They do huge. I mean, she brings up five guys from Mexico every year on the program to help with their farm. And they've done that for 25 years because they do such volume at farmer's markets. So what did I learn from Amy? Voluptuousness. Her booth always looked beautiful, whether it was, she's a farmer of vegetables and flowers, whether it was stacks of beautiful red and white radishes and carrots, or was it buckets of sunflowers or buckets of something. She always had a big splash. And mixed bouquets are great, but they're chaotic. And so having a volume of something to really beef, whether it's hydrangeas, zinnias, just to think that, and you know, I remember listening to my friends Ellen and Dave Dowling talk. Dave Dowling was a huge farmer's market, successful farmer for 20 years, a year-round farmer's market, by the way. And they talk about how it's better to grow more of 10 crops than to grow a little of 20 to 30 crops. And you know, another person, Jenny Love again, that mentioned she only grows 10 dahlias. Her huge wedding event business. How many dahlias are there out there? She only grows 10 of the best. So she has more of less variety. So having, if you're going into farmer's market and you want your confidence built, show up to the first market with 3 to 5 buckets of something gorgeous along with other offerings. But to have that big splash to draw, you want to impress florist? Walk in with your beautiful, voluptuous samples that you're dropping off, along with having a couple of pieces of paper with the proper information on it. And what is that? That is not what you're exactly growing all season, because nobody ever knows. As I'm living through a huge rainstorm right now, who knows what's going to be left? But the plan of what you're going to be growing. And then to have, when you actually send them an actual availability list, if you already have an availability list, to have correct wholesale pricing on there. Not low balls, but right along with what the market is in that area in your region. Nothing will impress them more than correct pricing. And then how are they going to buy from you? Making it convenient and easy. Those things are going to just make them think, this person really knows what they're talking about. They are in the biz. They know. I mean, you avoid so many. I mean, I hear, golly day, people, I actually, more than once, more than 10 times probably, I've seen people on social media lamenting about, yeah, I went into a florist with my flowers and asked them what they would give me for them, or went in and said, so how much, you know, so this is what I have. What do you pay for it? I mean, you, the flower farmer seller, are going in and asking the customer. I mean, what would you say if you walked into Walmart and it said, what do you give me for this? Well, I mean, it just turns the tables. That sets the stage for the rest of your relationship. Yes, you can overcome that, but why would you want to have to overcome that? You walk in prepared, and that is pretty simple to do. And then for those folks that don't want to go down those two, there's so many ways to sell your flowers, first off. You know, I think of subscriptions. One of the things that we talk about, or one of many things, in flower farming school is about telling your story. Flower farmers perhaps have the easiest way to market on social media. Everything we do, people want to hear about. They want to see the flowers. They want to see the garden. They want to see your kids. They want to see your dog. They want to hear about your failures, your heartbreak, your successes, the voluptuousness. We have so many things we can talk about on social media. And guess what, friends? That is your marketing story. You can sell. I mean, we proved this during the pandemic where people were selling tons of flowers through no touch, right? Contactless sales. We were telling our story on social media and dropping them off at places, on porches, on pickups, what have you. Flower farmers have it easy. That's why we introduced in my course the photo image library, to give people images to use until they get their own. Then I teach you how to get tons of video and photography all by yourself. Y'all, I have a team, right? I have a team of employees that run all the aspects of the Gardener's Workshop. But guess what? I do all the imaging and videoing 99% of the time all by myself with a tripod and some steps. And it is so easy to do. And you just need to, it's part of your business. It's that's telling your story. You can sell business subscriptions, home subscriptions. Oh my goodness. Telling your story online and then creating a way for easy online purchasing. Friends, it's all about being prepared. Yeah, you can DIY it. You can sift through 5 million literally hits on Google searches, but getting down to the nitty-gritty of what you need to build whatever area of business that you want is about being prepared, being professional, and becoming the expert. And guess what? All that leads you naturally to being the best salesperson on the planet, and you never really talked about sales at all. So friend, I'm going to end this now because as you can tell, I could really go off on a tangent on this because it's so obvious to me now that it was the preparation that I did that led me to become a great salesperson without even realizing that's what I was doing. And if you want to take the steps towards becoming a professional and prepared cut flower grower, flower farmer, whatever you want to actually call it, my course, Flower Farming School Online, the basics, annual crops, marketing, and more is available now. You can learn more. It'll be in the link to it. It'll be in the show notes, but you can always find it at thegardenersworkshop.com, as well as we have a perfect additional resource to that course, and that's Ellen Frost's workshop, Preparing to Sell to Florists. It is the deep dive. Remember how I said in the beginning that Lynn's book was like the overview of so many? It's like there's no way, there is no book long enough to tell you everything you need. Well, it's the same thing with online courses. My course is the foundation. It is those cinder blocks you need to step on to continue to build your business. And if you need that additional help, which I think we all need, in preparing to sell to florists, Ellen, who better to teach you than a florist that buys from local farmers? Ellen's course really helps you to figure out who is your customer, how to figure out pricing for your area, and how to create availability lists. those tools you need to have in your tool bag to walk in the front door of a flower shop and sweep them off their feet. So friends, you'll find all that at thegardenersworkshop.com, as well as just a lot of resources to support you, as well as other courses. Once you get your flagship business started, we have what you need to go in any direction with all of our other courses. And friends, you know, everything I've done in my business is rooted in being a well-prepared professional flower farmer. And we would love to have you join with us. All right, friends, till we meet again. Ciao.